Bring on Michelle Evermore, who's the legislative advocate for the National Nurses United. As many of you know, there's been a committee of 18 people appointed to examine the deficit. They were appointed by the White House, and we're hearing some pretty disturbing news about the what their plans are in order to reduce the deficit. Looks like they're looking to entitlement programs for further cuts and privatization. And Michelle's joining us tonight to discuss this committee and dispel the myths around why we would attack our entitlement programs to find these savings. Michelle, are you with us?
Yep, I'm here.
Hey, so why don't you take it away, give a background to the deficit committee and the position the National Nurses United is taking on this fight, and anything, any recommendations you can make to this network of activists going forward?
Okay, well, I guess I'll start with the Deficit Commission was formed in February, and former White House Chief of Staff Erskine Bowles is one of the co-chairs, as is Alan Simpson. So if you're looking at the people on the commission, this looks like 1996 Redux, which was the commission that said that Social Security was going to run out in 2012 and we were facing, you know, dire immediate problems and we needed to, you know, look at slashing these programs in order to prevent this future catastrophe that was coming in just a few years. So obviously, you know, you've got the same people on the same kind of commission for the most part. There is one representative from labor, as there was in 96. In 96, it was Trumka. Now it's Andy Stern. But pretty much the entire commission is you know, deficit hawkish kind of people. And the latest I'm hearing out of the commission, you know, again, a lot of activists are very concerned that there hasn't been that much transparency in terms of what people are discussing at these meetings. Some parts of some of the meetings have been public, but, you know, most of the discussions are not. So I can tell you what I'm hearing from people I know people, you know, who are on the commission, and that's that the more liberal members of the commission are looking to roll back the 2001 tax cuts. And they're bound and determined to do so, and they think that, you know, moving toward a balanced budget would be seen as another quote-unquote victory for the Democrats, much like, you know, the health care bill. And the problem is, the more I hear from these people, the more I hear the same thing over and over again, which is they're going to trade off cutting Social Security for in exchange for these 2001 tax cut rollbacks. And I mean, there's no logical reason to cut Social Security, but to balance the budget, because actually Social Security has a $2.2 trillion surplus right now. And as far as we can see into the future, I mean, it's solvent, really. If you look at the Social Security trustees, they predict a, you know, shortfall in the late 2030s, at which point they'd still be able to pay three-quarters of benefits. But that's if you assume that the growth rate over the next 30 years is half of what the growth rate over, I mean, the growth rate over the next 75 years is half of the growth rate from the last 75 years. And I don't see any reason to be that pessimistic in growth rate assumptions. But, you know, they have their reasons for thinking that, so, you know, whatever. But, like, the point is Social Security should be totally off the table. Now, I am hearing that Medicare is really more or less off the table because people are terrified of doing anything else on health care right now. Rightly so, right? So, that's the rumor. That's not, you know how things in this town change on a dime. So, I mean, I wouldn't bet that that's the case 2 months from now. Their recommendations are coming out in December, and the hope is that they'll be voted on by a lamed-up Congress, which is, you know, they're hoping that that means that, you know, members of Congress will have the backbone it takes to, you know, slash your Social Security benefits. You know, and I mean, the idea of cutting Social Security is problematic. I'm sure you all agree for a lot of reasons, but with only 20% at most of people having access to a defined benefit pension now, more than ever, we need Social Security, I think. People lost $2 trillion in a year in their defined contribution pensions. So anyway, that's kind of where we are. For a while, when this commission was first announced and people had these suspicions that they may be looking to cut entitlement programs, I thought, you know, it's a third rail of politics. They'll never really do it. In 2005, when I was working in the Senate, you know, everybody banded together. Everybody was on the same page. No privatization of Social Security. And we won resoundingly. And the people spoke. The people said, you know, no, you can't cut this stuff. And I thought that would be the end of it for a while because these are such enormously popular programs. But I got to tell you, I'm starting to be worried because I've been hearing from a lot more people who are, you know, notoriously usually very left of center, that this is a realistic possibility and that they, you know, may not be able to oppose it because, you know, they're not hearing enough that they need to oppose it. So I think that that's where we come in. We've got to be screaming about this. It's actually getting to that point. So that's where we are. If anybody has any questions.
Yeah, thanks so much, Michelle. This is Katie. Are there any strategies the nurses are moving forward with that you could share? Any specific acts of members of Congress that are being made right now?
At this point, we're working on it. Probably within a week or so, we'll have pledge cards for members to sign saying that they won't touch Social Security and Medicare. And we're working on member education materials that just explain to members where the Social Security and Medicare trust funds are right now and that they're not contributing to the deficit. So it's insane to cut them because actually, you know, a lot of budget figures count the Social Security trust fund, you know, against the deficit, depending on how you calculate. So that's where we're working on member education, and then we're working on pledges for members to sign saying they will not cut Social Security or Medicare.
And if anybody
question.
Else on the line, yeah, has a question, go for it.
This is Ajamu from PHIMG. Hello, Michelle. Is Obama weighing in on this discussion any way of shaping it, giving ideas of where he's coming from with respect to Medicare and Social Security?
He said everything's on the table, and that's the official view coming from the administration in general. Everything has to be on the table, and whenever you ask them specifically about Social Security, they won't say, "Yeah, we plan to cut it," but they'll say, "Everything has to be on the table. We're not taking Social Security off the table." So I guess it's on the menu.
Okay, thank you.
This is Dan Schulder from Pennsylvania. I was a lobbyist for the National Council of Senior Citizens in, I guess, 2005 when there was a commission, I guess a congressionally appointed commission. And Clinton kept misleading, if that's the right term. He wouldn't say where he was going. And it kept all of us, I mean, in the labor movement, the senior movement, really on edge. Until he finally said whatever he said, and he didn't talk about cutting the benefits. But it did establish this this requirement in Medicare that if there's not enough money, you have to go to the Congress and report the deficit. August 14th is the anniversary of the Social Security Act itself. That's when it became effective. And it seems to me a lot of us, ought to be concerned. That's in the middle of the summer. It's a bad time. But that ought to be noted and all of the things that Social Security brought with it. the Social Security Act, besides the old age pension money, unemployment compensation, aid to children, disability compensation. It was an enormous change in the political situation of the American people vis-a-vis their government and their taxes, and that should not go by without some major notation by advocates for both Medicare and social insurance.
Absolutely right. Well, you know, in August, most members are at home doing town halls, so to the extent that people can show up at town halls would be great.
Right.
July 30th, they're still around here, and that's the anniversary of Medicare, so we're planning a day of action then. And I think you're totally right about the ancillary benefits associated with Social Security that people are ill-educated about. I mean, you know, in 2005, it was all about what's the return on investment? Well, it's insurance. You don't want a return on investment. You know, you don't buy your house insurance hoping your house burns down and you make out. You know, the same is true with Social Security. At one point, I looked into the disability benefit and tried to figure out from private industry what would be the cost of a policy that equates to Social Security disability. And, A, it's not available on the market generally, such a policy. But, B, to the extent that any disability policies are available, they wrap around Social Security. So, actually, the insurance industry is concerned that they'll cut Social Security disability because then all of a sudden they won't have reserves to pay the benefits that they have on hand that they owe. So, I mean, cutting Social Security, you're right. Like, it's not just old age. It's all the survivors and disability stuff that there's no replacement for in our society because Social Security has been it for so long.
Hi, this is John from Michigan. A quick question. I think some of this has to be looked at in terms of what's going on worldwide, like with the austerity measures that they're going to try to impose on Greece. But the question I have for here is, in terms of the NNU's piece in a broader coalition, how are the broader coalitions facing up pro-saving Social Security and preserving it and those against? And what can we do within those broader coalitions for our side?
That's a really good question. I mean, I've been working sort of a little bit, just starting to work with, you know, the usual suspects out here in D.C. But I think we need to have a conversation about that, about, you know, how we get everybody involved and on the same page because, you know, without everybody saying the same thing, it's not going to be as useful.
My best guess is that we as nurses will have some influence, but I think if we could have kind of a, I don't know the right word, but maybe like a popular front in this regard, some type of broad-based single voice to mobilize as many folks as we can. I think that may be the only hope that we have.
Yeah. There's going to be a big conference in D.C. next week, headed by the Campaign for America's Future, and Trumka is speaking at it. And I think that the message that I'm seeing from the AFL is there's no reason to cut Social Security. What we need right now is jobs. And this is the message that I think a lot more people are coalescing around. People like the Economic Policy Institute, Pension Rights Center, National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare and stuff, they're all saying, look, when there was a Great Depression, that's when we established Social Security and Medicare. And right now is not the time to be talking about deficits, A. B, cutting Social Security doesn't do anything for the deficit. And, yeah, C, I lost my train of thought there. Sorry about that.
Okay. No problem.
This is Ajamu making a comment. I've been thinking about this, and it seems to me, and it's just coming up from my gut, that we're in the throes of the 2012 election campaign. And this is what this has a lot to do about. And I think it's an attempt of the Democrats to show that they can roll back the Bush tax cuts. I think that the Medicare and Social Security stuff is an incredibly brilliant scare tactic. Can you imagine if it appears as if Social Security is actually on the chopping block, uproar would be across this country? I mean, we don't see much now because folks don't know what's going on. To the extent that they find that out, I think that shit will begin to blow all over the place. So it seems to me that we need to do everything we can do, as has been discussed, to get people informed exactly what's going on, exactly what's at stake. But I think a lot of this has to do with a very carefully orchestrated process to roll back those tax cuts.
Yeah, yeah, totally. You know, and I think that a lot of people think that the common wisdom is Social Security is not going to be there, you know, when I retire, and that's what you know, popular thought is. But in reality, the National Committee actually had somebody do a survey, and what they broke down this idea of Social Security is not going to be there for me. And it's not that people think that the program is fundamentally unsound. They just don't trust Congress. And the numbers really show that most people think that untouched Social Security is fine. What they're worried about is Congress cutting it. And I don't think that message is getting up the chain very well. You know, I think that more people actually believe in the system in general as it is written now than people in D.C. really think.
One positive thing is that nobody has put privatizing Social Security on the table, given what has happened in the economy in the last 3 years. That's a plus.
Yeah, let's hope it stays that way.
This is Sandy Fox,
hey.
Pittsburgh. I just want to ask a question, Michelle, in terms of the possibility of Medicare cuts. So you say it seems to be off the table right now. You indicate it could be put back on the table. It's complicated because, you know, of course, many Republican members of Congress were saying no to the subsidies for Medicare Advantage being cut. You know, we certainly, you know, have been for cutting those subsidies. So it's not black and white on the Medicare cuts. It depends what they're cutting.
Right. I think that's true. I think we have to be on guard for you know, cutting various pieces of Medicare. And, you know, a lot of these guys realize that Medicare is actually in a, you know, slightly worse position than Social Security. Well, not slightly. It's in a much worse position than Social Security with the skyrocketing cost of health care, but so its solvency date is much closer.
Uh-huh. One of the problems, the biggest problem, I think, this is Delphine in Detroit, are the people on the committee. The former GOP Senator Alan Simpson has always been opposed to Social Security. The co-chair, the Democrat Erskine Bowles, and the staff director, Bruce Reed, back in Clinton days, they secretly negotiated a partial privatization of Social Security. But then when people found out, that deal blew up. So there, of the 18 members there, only five can we count on or that are Obama loyalists. So, they need 14 votes for any recommendations. So, you know, we need to put pressure on these other people who are on the committee.
This is Alice from Albany, and I know somebody said, well, they haven't put privatization out there, but if you look at the whole game plan around public education and the focus on charter schools and the competition to get, you know, for states to compete, it's possible that they won't say, well, we're cutting Social Security. They'll come up with some scheme that will be a pilot, that will be a way for people who want to opt out and to, you know, have private retirement accounts or so forth. I just think, I guess I don't trust the Obama administration to be the real defenders of Social Security, because I haven't seen them do that on health care or education at this point.
Right.
Michelle, do you want to respond to those two points?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, even the people we think we can count on, I don't know that we can count on. I mean, look what happened with health care. You know, people, you look at the commission, you look at the people on it like Coburn, who will just filibuster night and day, you know, on his radical notions. And then there are some people that really make me nervous, like the former CEO of Honeywell.
We are.
And, you know, Honeywell was one of the major players in this new pension regime that they came up with, cash balance pensions, which was a really tricky way to cut defined benefit plans for workers, particularly for older workers. They figured out this thing called wear-away, where people who've been accruing pensions for years and years and years would suddenly stop accruing pensions without their knowledge of the fact that they were no longer accruing pensions. And it was 10 years down the road when they retired that they found out that they were screwed. So, you know, people like that on the commission make me the most nervous, honestly, because they're very tricky. And they'll come up with stuff that you don't necessarily realize right away how bad it is.
This is a drama. To the extent that we develop a national one voice on this, then we have to, like, really raise the issue of not being able to trust these people. The way we were manipulated around the whole single-payer stuff should give us sufficient, you know, information that we absolutely cannot trust them. So even for us to say that Medicare and Social Security are off the table, we don't know that. We don't know what's on the table. What we know is we have to fight like hell to protect them both. I think that needs to be our message. Otherwise, we get caught up in trying to figure out this Byzantine Alice in Wonderland, the Gestapo-like crazy circus place that's the United States Congress. And begin to educate folks that there's something really at risk here without being hyperbolic but being really clear. And I think that's the way to go.
This is Don in San Francisco. The fact that there is a commission is already a loss, and because it buys into the premise that these programs are in trouble. But since the existence of Medicare, people have always screamed they're in trouble. Like the rate on your paycheck for Medicare is 1.45%. You see it if you get a paycheck from a company, and the employer chucks in the same amount. But it wasn't always that amount. It used to be lower. And when they figured out that, oh, Medicare needs them more money, they raised the rate from whatever it was, 0.95% to 1.1%. And then when they saw it was in trouble, they needed some more money, they raised it a little bit. So the fixes for Medicare are really simple. You would just go from 1.45% to 1.6% on your paycheck, and voila, the program's good for another 1,000 years or whatever. I think these projections are coming from the scare think tanks of the Paul Petersons in the world, who has a whole – he's an investment billionaire who's trying to scare people so that they can try to privatize it. And I think the same thing is true with Social Security, although I don't feel as familiar with some of the numbers. But it's there. You just would jack up the amount that you put into Social Security in your check, and you would raise the cap, because there are caps on I don't know. It used to be $70,000. I think it's higher now. Of how much money was,
It's $106,000 now.
$106,000. So you jack it up to $150,000 of how much is taxed for Social Security. I mean, there's easy fixes without throwing your hands up in the air and saying, "Oh God, Wall Street can solve this one," and that's what they want. So I think it would be good if we had a nice little fact sheet that just said the whole premise of this commission is faulty in the first place.
Oh yeah.
That's a very good point. And the relatively minor things that need to be done to fix it, I think you're right. People don't understand that ever since 1980, the 1983 commission set up the Social Security Trust Fund, which was not in existence prior to 83. And then in 1983, as soon as the trust fund was set up, you had people pointing to when the trust fund's going to run out as being when Social Security's broke, even though a year before there wasn't a trust fund at all. And so, you know, God forbid you go back to pay-as-you-go as it was in the past. I mean, people
What I'm hearing is that the very fact that we have a commission means that Medicare and Social Security are on the table.
Absolutely. That's one of the main points of the commission is that they want to get a whole bunch of people to sign on to say this. No, we are very serious academic economists, and we think that you have to cut Social Security. And the gain that they're hoping to get from that is a rollback of the 2001 tax cuts. And they will consider that a victory, even though it's, you know, they're giving up something that they've only had for 10 years, and we're giving up the bedrock of, you know, the greatest, most successful program in the nation's history, you know?
Do you have some references on this, Richard, in Albany, that could allow us to learn more about this commission and their persona?
You know, I can definitely put some stuff together and send it around.
That would be great, Michelle. Actually, we're reaching the 8:30 mark, and we have some other agenda items to get through. So, folks, I'd like to let you know that I can definitely circulate materials from Michelle and fact sheets that we'll be developing. And in addition, if there are further questions for Michelle, you can email them through Healthcare Now, info@healthcare-now.org, and we can definitely get them to folks who can answer. And at this point, though, we should probably move on, but I think, Michelle, that was a great dialogue. I so appreciate you being on the call. Are there any other closing comments before we jump to the next one?
Yes, I would like to. I'm Ed Clunan from Pittsburgh. I think we misnamed the problem here insofar as Obama has named the commission members. He's named Erskine Bowles as the Democratic co-chairman, and Erskine Bowles is clearly on record saying that he is for slicing and dicing Medicare and Social Security. There's 18 members on the commission. By my count, it's 15-3 to what I say is, because to say they're going to eliminate Social Security and Medicare is not quite accurate and alarms people more than is necessary. This is much more restrained but much more clever in doing it. And by what I say, or I like to use, slice and dicing Medicare and Social Security, there's a real reality. In fact, I almost say that they think they have the votes. I think they do too. It's 15-3 the way I count it now. There's three liberal Democrats in the House, and we've gone through in the single-payer movement in the past year what liberal Democrats in the House stand for at the end of the day, or 80 co-sponsors for not only 676, but also for the public option. They sort of went away. So if we don't realize that this is a real struggle on our hands and don't identify and just keep on saying it's the bad Republicans and the bad business people, it's the Democratic president who has named these people to this commission, and besides the people in the House and the Senate. And we have a real struggle on our hands, and we got to confront that. And as far as what ended the struggle before in the Clinton administration to eliminate an awful lot's been read. I'm sure most of you people is the Monica Lewinsky thing ended Clinton's effort to privatize Social Security. And we don't really, I think, have that problem with Obama. And there's nothing, quite frankly, to stop him but a mass mobilization of people on the broadest level to say you're not going to have this continued attack on our Social Security.
Right.
Michelle, any closing comments on your end before we move on to the next item?
Nope, I don't have anything, but just, I'll be developing more materials, and we'll send them around, and I appreciate anybody's ideas if they want to share.